Command? You call this command, boy? Look at you. Hold up with nowhere to run. You've lost, boy. Face it.
Bullshit! I've got the arms right here to win.
All you've got is your own sad chilling, son.
Murphy saw the Gen hold out a Gren, saw him pull the pin and lob the Gren over the barricade so that it landed in the center of the room. He watched as the Gen turned and punched in the code of the sector that made it start to close with a creak and a moan.
You bastard!
It was too late for Murphy to scoop up the Gren and throw it through the rapidly decreasing gap where the sector was closing.
Fucker!
Murphy raised his blue Beretta and drilled three holes in Wallace's back, throwing the Gen against the wall.
I can't believe it. I lost. Damn.
Never could get it right, Murphy. Not as smart as you thought, boy. Not born to lead.
Seeing the arsenal go up in a maelstrom of death, Gen Wallace slumped over with a placid smile on his face. Dead. Mildred heard the explosions as she attempted to remove the first electrode from a shaved portion of Doc's skull. It seemed to be held only with tape, but she was wary lest it be attached in some other way beneath. She heard the explosions as one, a dull whump that made everything in the room shake. Mildred braced herself against the couch on which Doc lay, seemingly comatose.
Damn it, Doc.
She shook her head to clear it, then proceeded to strip off the tape. The electrode underneath wasn't attached directly to the brain through a trepanned hole in the skull, as she could see on the others in the room, but it did seem to have some kind of hook that bit into Doc's scalp.
Sorry if this hurts you, old buzzard, but your hide is so damn thick that I seriously doubt it.
Gritting her teeth, she pulled the electrode free, prying the hook from the scalp. It seemed to be nothing more than a securing mechanism, coming free with just a slight twist, a trickle of blood marking the spot where it had been attached.
Oh! We are being divided. Another leaving so soon.
The men who comprised the Rat King stood in the comp room, watching Mildred detach Doc. The mainframe was still sparking, small fires flaring and dying as the transistor circuits on the motherboard burned out piece by piece.
We are all leaving.
Doc was able to walk away from them, to stand apart. He no longer had the need to mask his thoughts.
By the three Kennedys, that feels good. For all that I had thought about it, I do not think I had ever truly appreciated the joys of individuality before now.
We can no longer read your thoughts as you are moving away from us. What do you mean we are all leaving?
Look at yourself. You are speaking on your own, and you have moved away from the block, just as you were when I was first joined to you. Face the facts. Without a full complement, you are separating of your own accord. Look how your imaging has focused on things as they really are. This is the first time you have not been through a simulation or a model. Look at the computer. If that ceases operation, then nature will take the course denied it for so long, and you will die, as you should. If you stop and think about it, it should be a blessed relief to you.
But if we die, then the mechanism dies. And if the mechanism dies, then those who are dependent upon us will also die.
Those who are dependent?
Of course. Do we not spend our time in futility? Using a fraction of our capability to keep the life support systems of the Redoubt in working order?
Oh, mercy me. Has the good Dr. Wyeth thought of this?
Mildred had removed almost all the electrodes and was keeping half an eye on the tubes feeding Doc and cleaning his blood, wondering which she should disconnect first, when he started to writhe and moan on the couch, seemingly desperate to fight his way back to consciousness.
It's okay, Doc. Don't rush it, you old coot. More haste, less speed, as they always used to say.
Haste and speed are of the essence, my dear doctor.
Calm down, you old buzzard.
I fear you do not understand. The mainframe is dying. By leaving the others, I am killing them.
Mildred paused, looking at the desiccated zombie-like corpses on the other couches. What had Duck been through when he was linked to that machine?
They belong to the dead.
Perhaps. But they control the redoubt. When they die, it dies.
Shit. Including the Metrans.
Exactly.
The first tremor began to rock the redoubt, making the couches move on their mountings, screws and bolts protesting as the floor heaved beneath their solid grip.
Oh, yeah. This is all we need.
Fireblast, stupid bastard! Get down!
Ryan roared across the corridor, pushing to the ground as many people in his party as he could lay hands on, exhorting Jack to do the same, and barely believing what he'd just seen. The sector groaned into place and was dented almost immediately by the force of the explosion. The displacement of air was so powerful that it bent the metal, testing its strength to the utmost.
Dark Knight, what was that?
Damn it, J.B., that triple-stoop madman Wallace just blew himself and Murphy out of existence, taking the armory with them.
Fuck, that's bad news.
Friends, I might sound stupid, but why is it bad news? With Murphy and Wallace chilled, there's no one left to lead, and we can mop them up, right?
Wrong. First thing, an explosion in the armory is bad, spectacularly bad. Maybe there's nerve gas grenades, all sorts of shit in there.
But the door's closed, it's sealed.
The air conditioning system.
Right. If that's still working in there, and there's no reason to think it isn't, then the gas released will spread through the entire redoubt.
How long did that take?
Jack and the other assault party had made their way across to join the others. Abner was looking particularly worried. Mac knew that the old man always looked that way when he didn't understand what was going on.
Depends on how much the system was damaged in there, and how much gas, if any, was in the armory.
So there might not be any?
We can't guarantee either way. You can close off parts of the system if you can get to the right control panel, but where that is... Anyhow, it's not just the air conditioning that could be a problem.
Earthquake! Of course, the faults that formed the valley. And we're just deep enough for it to probably take effect if such a force started a shift.
Dark Knight. Millie and Doc...
Found him?
Shit, Jack. I don't know.
Let's find. Get the fuck out.
The flight to the comp room was bloodless and swift. There was no resistance from the remaining sec men, who were having more trouble fighting off white coats and techs, who saw the military as responsible for the downfall of their little civilization and had turned on them, grabbing makeshift weapons and chilled men's blasters to fight back. The companions were almost to the comp room when the tremor struck. Out in the corridors, Ryan and his party stumbled as fissures appeared in the concrete floors, and dust and plaster spilled from the ceilings in a fine mist. The whole structure of the deeply buried redoubt seemed to move around them, stressed concrete groaning and complaining as the steel within started to buckle. Weaknesses along fault lines began to spread cracks that threatened to separate corridors.
We've got to get Doc and Millie and get out!
Right! Let's move it!
The Vill-dweller who'd been standing guard for Mildred entered the comp room, his eyes wild with panic and fear.
This place is falling apart! We'll all be trapped!
Mildred ignored him for a second as she helped Doc to his feet. He looked older, frailer than he had for some time, and it was only his immense power of will that kept him from blacking out. When he was steady, she turned to the Vill-dweller.
We'll all get out of here if we stay calm. Otherwise, we're finished. Do you understand?
Okay, what do we do now?
Doc?
The Metrans. The Mobius will shut down soon, and then we will not be able to get out that way.
What about this guy?
True, my good doctor. We cannot leave this poor soul to his fate. If we can locate Ryan and the others, his people should be with them.
We're here, Doc.
Ah, Ryan.
This place is falling apart, and we need to get out.
We certainly do.
Mac, Abner, we'll lead you back to the Wags. Then we'll make our own way.
How will you do that?
Never mind, it'd take too long to explain. But trust me, we'll be okay. Now let's go. Jack, Dean, you help Doc.
As the albino slipped around to assist Doc, he handed him the Lama and Lion's Head Swordstick.
Oh,
Where did you get these, lad?
Leave things lying around. Someone bound to pick up. Now quit talking. Let's move.
The elevators were still working, but it was a rough ride up to the level where the wags had been left. The elevator shafts were reinforced against such movements of the earth, but the shock waves spread out by the explosion in the armory had started a series of tremors that were threatening to destroy the redoubt. They reached the wags without incident. Most of the infighting was concentrated on the lower levels. Mac and Abner marshaled their few people into one of the wags, and Ryan hit the outer door set code, praying that the door wasn't too warped by the earth shifts and jammed. It lifted with an agonized and protesting squeal.
Are you sure you won't come with us? It's not much of a life, but maybe we could move out with your assistance, settled beyond the valley.
Thanks, but we always go our own way. Now move before the door comes down on you. Can you manage this, Mac?
Sure, one eye.
The Sec man ground the wagon to gear as another tremor shook the floor beneath them, the Sec door dropping inches as the concrete frame split.
Goodbye, friend Ryan. It hasn't been fun, but it's been good.
Without looking back, Mac gunned the wag and drove it out into the enclave, weaving around the rocks and boulders that were tumbling down the sides of the rock walls. Ryan had already turned away, before the wag had even left the redoubt.
Let's move. Usual formation, and quick.
The companions moved to the elevator in single file. There was no one around at that level, but they could never afford to let caution lapse. The elevator half dropped to the level of the Mat-Trans, the cable snagging as the car hit the buckling walls. It was time for them all to sweat, except for Doc. He was too wasted and drained by his experience to truly at that point take in what was happening. Ryan and Jack forced the elevator doors back as it reached the level they wanted, the door mechanism opening too slowly for their liking as the earth shook and the walls started to shed shards of concrete and plastic. The metal lining of the air conditioning shaft had come down through one point in the corridor, and they had to weave around it, stepping over the chilled corpses of Sec men, whitecoats, and techs.
Ritual culling.
Finally, hearts pounding and sweat pouring from them in exertion and fear, they reached the outer chamber of the Mat-Trans. Christy went straight to the comps in the control room.
Still working.
She hit the code to start the Mat-Trans, using the knowledge they'd picked up from the few units they had seen that didn't use the door closing as a jump trigger. They entered the chamber, taking their positions on the floor and preparing for the jump. Jack and Dean helped Doc to a sitting position, then huddled themselves against the wall. Mildred and JB sat together, holding hands, blasters close by.
Praise Gaia.
Christy sat and waited for Ryan as the one-eyed warrior closed the door and spun the wheel.
Good luck, people. See you on the other side.
He turned to join Christy and was thrown across the chamber as the redoubt screamed in agony, walls beginning to crumble and cave in under the pressure of the shifting earth.
Ryan!
As Ryan hit the floor, the discs began to glow, the air crackling around them with electrostatic discharge, and a white mist rose and formed around them in curling tendrils. Ryan reached out for Christy as the nausea rose, and everything began to fade to black. The chamber shook around them.
God, I hope we make it.
Deathland's Rat King is a Cutting Audio production. Copyright 2004, The Cutting Corporation. Performed by Richard Rowan with Colleen Delaney, Nanette Savard, Terrence Acil Ford, Thomas Penny, Gary Arthur, Catherine Poe, and Mort Shelby. Script adapted for graphic audio by Bill Campbell. Directed by Rick Rowan. Produced by Rick Rowan and Wayne Beeman. Sound design by Brian Patton and Chris Rowan. The Deathlands theme was composed by Mark Ashby.